Acts 14, if you'll turn there, that's page 1147 in the Pew Bible. 1147 in the Pew Bible. If you don't have a copy of God's Word and you'd like to use the Pew Bible, please feel free to do so. And that'll take you to Acts chapter number 14, where it's kind of like we've been riding in the back seat with Paul and Barnabas on their very first missionary journey. They went out from the church at Antioch. In fact, we'll bring up the map here. They went out from their home church here at Antioch, called of God to take the gospel out to the world, the gospel of Christ that God had given Paul. And they went over here to Cyprus, and we traveled in the back seat with them, didn't we, to Cyprus, and saw all that happened there. And then they took a ship. They went up to here, which would be modern-day Turkey, and they ended up here in Antioch, where Paul preached his first recorded sermon. And you remember that they took them. They ended up raising persecution against Paul and Barnabas, took them to the city limits, gave them the boot. And so they leave Antioch, and they travel over here to Iconium. Last week we saw in Iconium and at Antioch, many people got saved and trusted Christ, but we also saw persecution. We saw opposition to Paul and Barnabas. And at Iconium, it was no different. Paul and Barnabas caught wind of a plot of an assault. And they were going to take Paul and Barnabas and they were going to stone them and kill them. And they heard about it and they fled. And they went 25 miles south to the city of Lystra. If you would, look in your handout with me. I'm sorry, look in your Bible at verse number 6. It says, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Now, when they got to Lystra, notice what they did. It says, and there they preached the gospel. We got a picture here. This is a picture of Lystra, some of the remains. I think we've got it. If we'll bring it up. Can we bring it up, please? And this is the outside, the remains of present-day Lystra, and a picture there. And so they go into the city of Lystra, and they preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to go ahead and take the picture down now. While they're in Lystra, in which we're going to read about this morning, Paul and Barnabas experienced some great blessings. In fact, I would say incredible blessings. In fact, I would say miraculous blessings from the hand of the Lord. Not only did they experience some great blessings from the hand of God, but they also experienced some very, very deep trials as a result of their enemies. Let me just say that this is quite typical in our service for the Lord. Serving God is not always a bed of roses. Serving the Lord is not going from one mountaintop experience to the other. There are valleys, there are trials, there are some rough places in the road when you serve the Lord. The other day, Denise and I were out on the road and we were on the highway and it was just as smooth as it could be. And it was as if out of nowhere, there was this huge, deep pothole in the middle of the highway. How many of you have ever, like there's a dead animal or a pothole or there's debris in the road and you don't have time to go right, and you don't have time to go left, but all you can do is straddle it. You ever done that with your car? You ever straddle something, you know? And there's this big old pothole. And man, I straddled that thing and managed to get by it. But I thought, you know, serving the Lord's a lot like that. You know, there's some potholes. Life can throw you some curves. Just like a roller coaster. You notice the picture there, of course, on the handout. Just like a roller coaster, there's some ups and downs when you serve the Lord. I wonder how many of y'all like roller coasters? How many of you are into them and you like them? I like them. I like to watch them with my feet on the ground. That's about it. I like to make fun of people on them, you know, and keep my feet on the ground. Is there anyone like me that like your feet on the ground? Amen. And but you know, life serving God is a lot like that roller coaster. Man, there's ups and there's downs, there's turns, there's some sudden curves, there's some jolts. Man, serving God, I tell you what. You know, Paul wrote this. I'm just going to read this to you from 2 Corinthians 4. Listen to this, and you'll kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. He said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Victories, valleys. Why are there so many ups and downs when we serve Christ? I think we need to understand that, answer that question, lest we get discouraged and be tempted to quit. You see, a lot of times what happens is people have the idea, now that I'm a Christian, it's going to be one continuous mountaintop experience. And then they're devastated when problems come and trials come and conflict comes. They're just devastated because they had a false impression of what it was going to be. You know, it's important that we be anchored in truth, because the Bible says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. So, you know, it's like, okay, I don't like the fact there's going to be down times and valleys, but I can deal with it if I know it's going to happen and I know that's the truth. So we need to be anchored in truth. Why are there so many ups and why are there so many downs when we serve Christ? Number one in your handout. Because when we serve Christ, lives are impacted. Lives are impacted when you make a choice to serve the Lord. Paul is preaching the gospel in verse 7, and then I want you to notice there's one man listening very intently. Look at verse 8. It says, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. That word impotent is from the Greek word, which means impossible. In other words, it was impossible for this man to walk. But I want you to notice what happens in verse 9. The same heard Paul speak. Man, he heard him preaching the gospel. Who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Paul said, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. He leaped and he walked. This man is sitting here. He's not walked his entire life. He has been confined to this chair. And Paul perceives this man's full of faith. He's hungry for the word. And so Paul looks at him and he says, stand upright on thy feet. And the Bible says he leaped. Now let me ask you a question. Had this man come out of that chair when Paul said that, and had he leaped and then fallen and just laid there like this, and he couldn't get up, right? You got to interpret, brother. You better get up. You got to, all right. But Steve is great. Had he just laid there, would that have been a miracle? Yes or no? No. The miracle was in the walking. He leaped and he walked. Say, what are you doing? I'm walking. Because there's a nugget right there that I don't want to pass up. You say, what's the nugget? A lot of Christians leap, but they never learn to walk. And what I mean by that is they go to church and they have an emotional experience, or they have this dramatic testimony, or there's a singing group, you know, and then they start crying, or the choir touches their heart and they have this emotional experience, and there's nothing wrong with that. But man, I mean, it's as if they leap. But the miracle wasn't in the leaping, the miracle was in the walking. You see, the question is not, have you had an emotional experience? See, a lot of people, they've got this habit. They leap and then they fall. And then they go to, you don't see them for 3 or 4 months. And then they leap and then they fall. But you see, what I want you to see this morning is what really attests to the genuineness of our faith is not just leaping and getting all on fire for a week or two, going to youth camp, and man, I come back from youth camp and on Friday and Saturday and Sunday, I'm fired up for God. What about Monday? I mean, think about it. When you go to church on Sunday and you have this great experience at church and you leap, you know what? The real test is going to be, are you going to walk with Jesus Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday? Are you going to walk with Him? It's that daily walk with Christ. It's that day-by-day, godly, grace-filled walk that is a testimony for Jesus Christ. This crippled man was hungry for God's Word. He was full of faith. He immediately obeyed. What a blessing to work with people like this. And because Paul was serving the Lord, he was able to impact this man's life for Christ. If you bring back up the map real quick that I showed earlier, that map, think about this. What if Paul would have stayed back at Antioch? What if he'd have stayed in his home church? What if he'd have stayed in his comfort zone? What if he'd have never left Antioch and he'd have never went out on this missionary journey? What if when he got to Iconium and they were going to stone him and kill him, and the Bible says he had to flee? What if he would have said, man, I've had enough of this. I don't have to take this garbage. All I'm trying to do is help people. I'm trying to give people the Word of God. I'm just trying to teach people truth. I don't have to take this. And what if at Iconium he'd have fled, not this way, but what if he'd have fled that way? What if he'd have gone back to his home church and said, I am through. I am done with this. Had he quit, he would have never gone to Lystra. He would have never met this man whose life would be forever changed because Paul cared and because Paul did go to Lystra. And this story could be repeated time after time after time right here at Crossroads. Oh, the details may be a little different here and there, but we could repeat this story of people serving the Lord at our church and impacting lives. When you serve the Lord, you impact lives. You understand that? When you serve God in a children's class over here or in the nursery, When you serve God, at VBS coming up, when you serve the Lord out here picking up kids on our bus and bringing them to church so they can hear about Jesus, when you serve God by giving a week of your time to go to a youth camp with 100 teens, you know, think about that. People who gave a week of their life to go and eat and sleep and rub shoulders with smelly teenagers. We love them. But buddy, it was hot out there, wasn't it? There was some fragrances going on, right? I'm sure of that. And to think, but you know what? You impact lives. Listen, you say, well, I don't feel like, I went to camp, but I don't really feel like I impacted anybody. Just being there impacted lives. Think about it. Think about it. If nobody would have stepped up to the plate, just think if Rob would have just literally had nobody that would do it. Nobody volunteered to cook. Nobody volunteered to clean up. Nobody volunteered to be a cabin leader. Nobody volunteered to head up the games. Nobody volunteered to be out there with those teenagers. Do you really think Rob and Colleen would want to take 100 teenagers to a camp by themselves? It's not happening. It's not happening. Do you understand there will be souls in heaven because you stepped up to the plate and said, I'll go and I'll do it? There are souls that are going to be in heaven. You had at least 3 saved. There'll be souls in heaven because people stepped up to the plate and said, I'm willing to serve God this way. That is going to abound to your account in heaven. Man, I tell you that. That's why, you know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I got saved when I was junior high, teenager. By 16 years old, I knew, man, I wanted to serve God with my life. I knew at 16. I just remember coming forward in my little church. There was probably all of 30, 40, 50 people there that night. And I came forward on a Wednesday night, and I surrendered my life to full-time ministry. I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. I was on fire for God, but I didn't want to just leap and then, you know, I wanted to walk. And I just remember surrendering, and I never looked back. I never, ever looked back on that again. That was the decision I made at 16, and that was what I wanted to do with my life, is to teach people the Bible. Why? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. It's because of things like this. We had a gentleman that got saved here at church recently. And he came up to me with a big grin on his face and tears in his eyes. And he gave me this card. And the card says, God is using you for His special purpose to shine His light, to share His love, to shape His people. You are making a difference in ways you don't even realize. And you're very much appreciated. And then he wrote in his own writing, Dear Pastor Dan, I want to thank you for your love and prayers which brought myself to love and know God. I will forever remember the day you delivered me into God's waiting arms. That's why you serve God. Impacted lives. Lives that are impacted because of our service for God. Did you know that in your handout it says there, Paul said that his joy in heaven would be the people that he had impacted with the gospel of Christ? Look in your handout at 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? How would you answer that? What is your hope and joy? What's your rejoicing? Some people it's their car. Some people it's their house. Some people it's their boat. Some people it's their big screen TV. What is your crown of rejoicing? Notice, are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul said, when Christ comes back and I'm up in heaven, it's you, you people, the people that I have impacted for Christ, you are our glory and our joy. When we get to heaven one day, oh friend, I got news for you. When we get to heaven, the joy that we will have in heaven is going to be tied to the lives that we have impacted for Jesus Christ. If you know Jesus, you have the opportunity to impact people for Christ by serving Him. There's nothing more exciting or exhilarating than to serve the Lord. Some of you in here have been learning how to serve God lately, and it's addictive. You can't get enough of it, and it's exciting. But let me warn you, let me take you to the second point, okay? Because I want to give you the other side of this. We said at the beginning of the message, there's ups and downs in serving the Lord. You say, well, man, to me, it just sounds like all ups, Pastor Dan. I mean, you're talking about this crippled man walking and lives being impacted and our joy in heaven and all that. Man, to me, it just sounds like one big mountaintop serving God. I haven't got to my second point yet. Number two, there's ups and downs because, number two, when we serve Christ, people are unpredictable. People are unpredictable. The people of Lystra, where Paul was, now stay with me here. They were pagan idolaters. After this man was healed, after he leaped and walked, do you know what these people assumed? They assumed that Paul and Barnabas were two of their gods come down to them in the flesh. Look at verse 11. It says, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. Remember, these people are pagan idolaters. And they called Barnabas Jupiter. They said, hey, you're Jupiter. And you say, what is that? Jupiter was the supreme deity of the Greeks. He was the supreme god, also called Zeus. They said, you're the supreme god, Barnabas. You're Jupiter. And then notice they called Paul Mercurius. Mercurius. Because he was the chief speaker. Mercurius, he was the name of the messenger of the Greek deities. And so, it's sad, but yet it's kind of funny that look at verse 13. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. He's like, oh yeah, come on, we got to do sacrifice. The gods are here. And so he gets this oxen and they're going to slaughter the oxen. They're going to sacrifice this oxen. They got garlands, which are wreaths they're going to put on Paul and Barnabas. And so the local pagan priest, he's about to prepare this sacrifice that he's going to offer to Paul and Barnabas. In other words, these people were preparing to worship Paul and Barnabas. They're going to worship Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas catch wind of it. Look at verse 14. Notice what happens. It says, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out. Man, they hear about it and they come running. They're like, no, 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 stop, 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 don't do that. And they go down to the city gate and they immediately put a stop to it. What did they say? Look at verse 15. It says, they said to them, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. So they preached to these people. They admonished these people. You need to turn from all this foolish idolatry unto the living and the true God. Well, about that time, about the time they're preaching to these people that they need to turn from all this foolishness with their pagan idolatry and that they need to worship the true God, about the time they do that, the Jews from Antioch and from Iconium, remember in Antioch they gave them the boot, and in Iconium they were going to stone them because they were full of envy. You know, these people were so full of envy. And they had a vendetta against Paul and Barnabas. They couldn't stand them. And so they literally tracked Paul and Barnabas to Lystra. I mean, like hunting dogs, they track them down and they locate them in Lystra. Notice what happens in verse 19. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and from Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. These people come and they track down Paul and Barnabas, and the Bible says they begin to go to people and they begin to persuade the people against Paul. They stone Paul, and after they think they've got him dead, they drag him out of the city and they leave his dead corpse outside the city limits, so they thought. Now, we're going to see in a moment here what happens next, but I just want to stop here a minute, and I want to bring out something. Did any of you catch the irony of this passage? The same people who had deified Paul and desired to worship him now take part in his stoning and murder. These people were manipulated and they were persuaded by the angry people from Antioch and Iconium. That's why the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, lest thou learn his ways and it become a snare to thy soul. These angry people come and they persuade the people. These are the same people that were like, the gods are come down. If a person has any desire to serve God, You got to understand one thing, and it's in your handout. People will hurt and disappoint you. Serving the Lord is basically serving people, right? I mean, how do you serve the Lord? Well, you serve people. So do you know what serving the Lord means? Yeah. Serving the Lord means serving and working with imperfect, sinful, frustrating, unkind, and sometimes just downright mean and nasty people. And because of that, one of the biggest ups that you'll ever have in serving the Lord will be the lives that you have positively impacted for Christ. Man, it is thrilling and it is just so exhilarating. One of the biggest ups you will ever have are the lives you've impacted. One of the biggest downs will be the people who hurt and disappoint you. And by the way, one of the things I've learned through the years, it can be the same people. It can be the same. The people who just love you and the people that you have impacted for Christ and they just love you and they are your friend, they can also be the ones that hurt you the most. So, you know, it's exciting to impact lives, but you need to understand from the text, people will hurt you. They'll disappoint you. And a lot of times it can be the same group. When Satan tries to discourage us, in your handout, it says, when Satan tries to discourage us, so many times the tool he uses will be people. The tool that Satan uses will be people. And that's why the passage in your handout is such a key passage. And this is a passage you need to cling to. Look at it with me in your handout. The Bible says that when we serve the Lord, we're to do it not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to who? The Lord and what? Not to men. Can y'all say that with me? Let's start with as to the Lord. Say it with me. As to the Lord and not to men. Then look at this promise. This is a great promise. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord. Think about that. When you serve God, whatever good thing you do, if it's done from the heart, with the right heart attitude, that's what the text says, the same shall you receive of the Lord one day. That's just phenomenal. We have to keep our eyes focused upon Jesus Christ, not the people that we serve and minister to. You've got to keep your eyes on Christ. It's about that daily walk with Christ. Up on the screen is a great verse, Colossians 3:23. Say it with me. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. What you do for Him. You're not looking at men, you're not looking at people, you do it for Him. Because if we look to people, you can get hurt. Very disappointed. They may not appreciate it. They may not care. It may not mean anything to them. They don't care about the sacrifices you've made. And it can be the people you've served. But aren't you glad to know Jesus sees it all? He knows it all. And any good thing that we do with the right heart, we will receive of the Lord. Number three, last point is this. There's a lot of ups and downs when you serve the Lord because number three, when we serve Christ, we are sure to endure trials. We are sure to endure trials. You know, when you serve Christ and you're out there and you're infiltrating enemy territory with the gospel of Christ, the Word of God, you are not going to get a free pass from Satan. Like I said earlier, you know, those of you who are youth camp leaders, you know, lives were impacted because you stepped up to the plate and served. Satan's not going to give you a free pass. He's going to fight back. We saw in our text, they stone Paul, they leave him for dead. Let's see what happens here. Look at verse number 19 again. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra. That's where he just got stoned. And to Iconium, where they were going to stone him, and Antioch, where they threw him out of town. Here is Paul. They stone him. They take him outside the city limits and say, good riddance. They walk away. They think he's dead. God miraculously raises him up. Some people believe that he actually did die. Based on 2 Corinthians 12, where he talks about how he was caught up into the third heaven and he heard things that he could not even repeat. Some people believe he died and was actually resurrected by God. Well, God's done that before. Amen? So God, it may have happened. We don't know for sure. But the idea here, they were sure the guy was dead. They leave him. God raises him up. He goes back to Lystra. I think I said it a few weeks ago. That's better than a John Wayne movie, isn't it? That's better than the Duke could do. I mean, can you imagine the last they saw him, he's this bloody pulp. His heart's not beating. His pulse is no longer there. They leave him there dead. In a few days or weeks or however long it was later, they look up Main Street Lystra and here he comes, walking into town. Imagine that. What an incredible victory. Paul experienced the power of God's deliverance, but don't you forget, he did have to go through the brutal stoning. Let's not forget, he felt the pain. Those stones as they pelted his head and his body, he felt the reality of the pain. In Iconium, God delivered Paul from the stoning. He heard about it, fled. In Lystra, God delivered him through the stoning. Up on the screen is a great verse, 2 Timothy 3. Let's bring it up. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I, and what's the next word? Endured, but out of them all the Lord what? See, but he had to endure them. God delivered him through the trial. Was God's power displayed in a greater way in the deliverance at Iconium or at Lystra? Which was God's power greater displayed in the deliverance at Iconium, where he heard about it and fled, or at Lystra, where he was stoned and raised up? Yeah. You see, a key principle in your handout. Let me give it to you. It says there in the Bible, sometimes God delivered his children from trials. But most of the time, God delivers his children through trials. Why? It's because during these trials, the power of Christ is displayed through us. In your handout is a great passage, but before we read that, look up at the screen. Let's bring it up here. 2 Corinthians 12. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So Paul had this thorn in the flesh. He had this problem, this ailment, whatever it was. He had this problem. And it was frustrating to Paul. And he said, I asked God three times to take it from me. Deliver me from this trial, that it might depart from me. But then look at your handout and notice what God's answer was. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Why? Because we're resting in Christ. We're depending completely on Him. Hey, when those trials come and we're in those valleys, you see, God wants us to draw close to Him. God wants us to find our sufficiency in Him, not ourselves. Can you imagine if everything we touch turned to gold? We wouldn't be worth a plug nickel. We'd be so puffed up, we'd think it's because we were better than somebody. You know, this is evidence of God's blessings, and boy, I must be closer to God, and I must be living right. If everything we touch turned to gold, we'd be so full of ourselves. It's those valleys, it's those trials that have a way of causing us to realize how much we need Jesus, and that our sufficiency is in Him, not in ourselves, not in our cleverness, not in our brilliance, not in our keen minds, not in our great sense of humor, you know, not in our gifts and not in our abilities, but the power is Christ in us. Have you ever ridden an amusement ride at an amusement park? And have you ever gotten on it and they strapped you in and once you got going, it wasn't what you expected? When I was a kid, I climbed aboard this ride right here. They still got it. It's called the Zipper. Now, in my mind, as a probably 7-8-year-old kid, I thought it was like a Ferris wheel, just a different shape. The first clue should have been when they put me in an enclosed cage. And as a kid, when it first started, I thought this was great. And then all of a sudden, the cage started doing this. And it started doing this. And I'm this little kid. I'm all by myself in the cage. And I'm getting all bounced around in there. And my mom and dad are down on the ground watching. And of course, I'm up there, and I am scared to death. And I'm going, ah! And my dad's down on the floor, ground there. And he looked up. He looked at my mom and said, look at him. He's laughing. He loves it. And as only a mom can do, she said, Don, I think he's crying. So he got the man to stop it. Man, I got off that thing like this. You know, and of course, I won't tell you what I did next, but he was not pretty, let me tell you. That was not what I expected. In the same way, do you think we can get false expectations about serving Christ? I mean, when you get saved, man, and you make a decision, I'm going to serve Jesus with my life. Man, buckle me in. Strap me in. I'm ready. I want to serve Jesus. And we get going. And man, it's not what we expected. You're like, man, I didn't sign up for this when I decided to serve Christ. We naively think that if we're serving Christ, God will bless us, whatever that means in our mind. That's a pretty broad term, you know. Well, if I'm serving Jesus, God's going to bless me. And I'm always going to be up on this mountaintop. And if you bring up the next picture, you ever ride a sky lift? How many of you have ever ridden a sky lift? You ever ride one of those rascals? And we think that the Christian life's like that. We think the Christian life is, man, we're up on the mountain and we're looking down at the valleys. We're not ever in them. Man, we're up on top looking at them. We're above all that. As we learn today, it's just not the case. Serving Christ is more like this. Right? Am I right? Some of you seasoned folks out there, that's what serving Christ is like. There are ups and downs. Man, isn't that a great principle we learn from this text? One minute, Paul's in Iconium, people are getting saved. The next day, they're going to stone him. He has to flee. He flees to Lystra, and man, this impotent man who's never walked a day in his life gets up, leaps, walks, and woo, we're on the mountaintop. Then the next moment, these people want to deify Paul and Barnabas. They want to make him gods, and so Paul's got to preach the socks off their idolatry. Then about that time, these folks from Antioch and Iconium show up. They're going to stir the pot. They're going to persuade the people. Now they take Paul, they stone him, they take his body, leave it outside the city limits, dead. He's down here again. Then all of a sudden, God breathes life back into his body. He miraculously stands up on his feet to the point he's able to get up and go to Derbe and preach. And go back to Lystra and back to Iconium and back to Antioch. What am I saying? Man, it's like this. But we got to remember something. My life and your life, it's not about us. It's about our lives bringing glory and honor to Him. It's about our life bringing praise to Him. And you know, it's through those trials, it's through those down times. In your handout, it says, hopefully, through those down times, hopefully, and maybe you're in one right now, when you're in the valley, when you're in the down times, hopefully you will respond in such a way that others can see God's power and God's glory being displayed through you. For when I am weak, then I am what? That's when the power of Christ can truly be reflected in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning with our heads bowed and with our eyes closed. If you've served the Lord for very long, you know the reality of the message today. It's not going to be a continuous mountaintop. And maybe some of you in here this morning are discouraged. And maybe some of you this morning are just down. You know, and you just feel discouraged. You think, man, I didn't sign up for this. When I said strap me in, I want to serve Jesus, this isn't what I expected. Well, look at what Paul and Barnabas went through. You won't find two more dedicated men than those two men. And look what they went through. So this morning, I want you to take hope. I want you to take courage. I want you to make a decision. I'm going to glorify Jesus. The issue is Christ and Him getting glory. The issue isn't how I look. The issue isn't, you know, me. The issue is Christ. I want Him to look good through this. I want Jesus to look good. I want Jesus to be magnified through this trial. I want others to see Christ in me. That's the issue. That needs to be our heart. With our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, let's take God's word. Let's apply it today. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, I pray, God, that we will all in this room that know you, that we will allow this passage to speak to our heart about what Paul went through at Lystra, the ups and the downs. And I just pray, Lord, that we will realize, Lord, when we serve you, we're going to impact lives. That's the upside. But there are some downsides. There are some trials that we're going to have to endure. There's some things we're going to have to go through. And I just pray, Father, that you'll fill us with your grace, that we may reflect your glory through those downtimes. Help us to reflect your glory, to reflect who you are, to make you the issue, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We need you. And we cannot make it without you. We confess our total dependency upon you, and we humble ourselves before you. Oh God, speak to hearts here today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.